T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Big noon hour ahead. We'll get to the lunchtime Falcons report coming up in 20 minutes. A lot of audio from the weekend. Some damn good questions with Wendy Adams because Brian Gebhardt's taking a 7-day weekend coming up at 12:40 as well. And before we get to the most important audio in the world and some Alex Anthopoulos, shout out to Brenda, who just sent me a link, Randy, to a bunch of other instances where gender reveals went completely wrong. This isn't even the first time that a fire was started by a gender reveal. In April of 2017, Dennis Dickey, which would be your name if you started a fire because of a gender reveal, Dennis Dickey started a 47,000-acre wildfire in Arizona that cost $8.2 million and 800 firefighters to extinguish after he shot some explosive thing at a gender reveal. A couple in Iowa shot a gun at a gender reveal party, also in April 2017, that was filled with an explosive, and the fire department was called because the sound was heard in a 2-mile radius and shook houses 2 miles away. A car in Australia in 2018, Randy, was engulfed in flames after the driver attempted a burnout stunt, meant to release blue smoke, and the car went up in flames because of it. In September of 2019, a pilot dumped 350 gallons of pink water from a plane flying at low altitude for a gender reveal, but the plane was flying too slow and was overloaded with water, and it crashed. Stop the gender reveal madness. That's just go to the doctor.
Because there's no point in doing all that.
No, it's not. All right?
Just, hey, man, go light you up. Go let go of a damn blue or a pink balloon. All right?
This
is just so ridiculous because everybody's trying to outdo somebody with this baloney bully. Here's another thing. Stop proposing on the edge of damn boats. All right? I saw so many videos this weekend about guys on the edge of the boat about to propose and drop the damn ring in the water. She shouldn't even marry you for being a damn dummy. Like, just simple, man. Simple.
This poor lady here died. She was killed in Iowa after she got hit in the head by a piece of metal from an explosive device that was to throw out colored powder. Essentially, it was a pipe bomb.
Everybody want to outdo everybody, man. Like Wendy said, or some cupcakes, something.
Cupcakes, you know, easy.
All this, like the baby just coming out like Goldberg.
Go to the doctor.
Fireworks.
Let the lady that runs, or the guy that runs the, the ultrasound machine, put the lube on the belly, get the little picture going. She closes, gets a close up. She tells you if there's a wiener or not. There you go. Look for the wiener.
Yeah.
Oh, no wiener.
If it's there, you got a boy. If it ain't, you got a girl.
There you go. And then go have an ice cream sundae with your pregnant wife. Yeah. Celebrate that way. Nobody dies. Nobody goes to jail. Forests don't burn down. Very simple. All right. We'll get to the lunchtime Falcons report coming up in about 20 minutes. Before we get there, we kick off the noon hour every day with the big clip of the day, brought to you by Johnson and Allday Injury Attorneys. Visit JohnsonAllday.com.
So he'll be eligible to be back on the 16th. This doesn't mean for sure he'll make that start. But you know, his concern was that he would miss too much time because he doesn't think he's that far off. So, but right now we could plug him into that start, that last game against the Orioles. If not, we would expect it to be no later than, I believe it's Friday the 18th against the Mets on the road.
So that's Alex Anthopoulos earlier today talking about the news of early this morning, which is that Max Fried has been put on the 10-day injured list. So, retroacted to Sunday, the 6th, He's on the 10-day IL, which obviously would mean he could come back on the 16th. There's a few questions I have, and we'll talk to Joe Patrick in the 1 o'clock hour about all this. I mean, best-case scenario, Randy, Max Fried really only starts two games before the season is over. If he comes back on the 16th, the season's over on the 27th. That's two starts. That means there's only two games for the rest of the year that the Braves have a legitimate starting pitcher. So they got to hang on to this lead with nothing in the starting rotation. And, you know, no offense to Ian Anderson. I know he was great his first two starts. He's still a three-start rookie. He's made three starts in his life. And Kyle Wright's done it, and he's coming back now. And, I mean, he hasn't shown us anything this year. I know that they said that he made some adjustments in Gwinnett. Hopefully they work. We'll get to some other options in a minute. But the Braves basically have to hang on to this lead. And, you know, there's expanded playoffs, so there's still a pretty good chance the Braves are going to make the playoffs. But they got to stay afloat with no starting pitching. Like, literally no starting pitching. They had next to no starting pitching, and now Max Fried is on the IL.
Yeah, and that's the hard part about this whole thing is that your best guy, you remember 2-3 weeks ago, we were like, we just wait every fifth day till he gets up there.
Yep.
You know, and now it's not even there anymore, man. And, you know, as you look at how these injuries are, you said, who knows when he's going to be back? You know, and if the fact is that if we want to just talk about just being in the playoffs and not winning the division, well, if you're in there, wouldn't you just want to wait and see and make sure he's 100% for that? I mean, because the one thing is that, you know, it's they added the extra, but in the playoff format, a little different the first round, right? It's like best of three,
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, the first round, yeah.
Okay. So I'm saying, you got to see if you can get him in for at least one of those starts. You would hope. We don't want to make the same mistake as he did last year, because you put the pit bull up there, you know, with the guy who I throw harder than, but he's been there, you know, but I can go there.
How annoying was that yesterday, by the way? I know nobody likes the YouTube broadcast anyway. I mean, I don't mind the YouTube broadcast. I just need a little bit more enthusiasm from the broadcasters. Yeah. It didn't sound like they had a whole lot of interest in being there. But how annoying was that when they put the little poll question up there about which free agent signing has been biggest for their team? And obviously everyone's going to say Marcell Ozuna, because he has been. But the broadcasters just spent 5 minutes lauding praise on Dallas Keuchel. Boy, was that was really something yesterday. Yeah. Like, okay, all right, the White Sox are good. That's fine. Marcell Ozuna's hit like 6 home runs this week. And you're calling a Braves game. Maybe we'll talk a little about Ozuna. No, we'll just talk about Keuchel.
Okay. You're a YouTube broadcaster. I mean, come on, man.
Well, it was John Smoltz was on the thing.
I know, but they called it on YouTube.
You're like, they did call it on YouTube.
You know, I'm John Smoltz, man. I need to be on Fox or something like that. John Smoltz is so good at his damn job.
He's very, very good. I will say this, though. He's excellent. I love listening to him. He's awesome when he comes on the show and gives analysis and opinions that, you know, no one else would have even thought of. But it's more common now to turn on, especially a national broadcast, and Kevin Millar was doing it yesterday too on the game, and listen to these guys talk about what they don't like about baseball in 2020 versus what they do like, or, I don't know, talking about how the game is different and maybe talking about how it's fun in some ways. It's just a lot of people, and the same thing is true of NBA games. Like, you turn on a lot of NBA games and hear Isaiah Thomas or whoever talking about how the game just isn't what it used to be. The NFL would never stand for that. Like, can you imagine Tony Romo on the CBS national game?
Yeah.
Talking about how the NFL is a bunch of soft, like, whatever. Like, they would never do that in a million years.
No, and the thing about it, it's supposed to change. Something's supposed to change. Baseball don't want to change. They're stuck in these old man, old school ways, but yeah, everything's supposed to evolve. I mean, I love the basketball back when Isaiah and played, but hell, I like this one. I like this one a little bit more too, because I ain't seen good dudes get knocked all over the damn ground and foul like that. Yeah, I wish it was a little bit more defense and all that, but you know, ain't wrong with the flowing of the game. But I mean, everything has to change. But back to the Braves. I mean, we up the creek right now, man, and we got to figure something out. There's no answer for losing Max Fried.
What about Folty? That's what Alex Anthopoulos was asked.
You know, he's throwing again today, so you know, he continues to work extremely hard. But you know, it's hard for me to put any type of expectations at this point. I can tell you that he's doing everything that he can. His work ethic has been off the charts. So you know, we're going to continue to try to get him back to where he was. And we'll see how he does tonight. But certainly each outing that he has down there can, you know, certainly can only help to get him sharp.
That is the best thing I've ever heard Alex Anthopoulos say, though, or at least the most honest. Yeah, I've got no expectations for Mike Foltynewicz.
Yeah,
it would be unfair to put any expectation on him. Well, yeah,
it would. That's why we were talking when we were talking earlier in the show, Buck. And I was like, I mean, you ain't got no damn expectations, so all you gotta do is go and just go pitch free. And to me, it seems like whenever there's pressure on Folty, this is when stuff like this happens. Now there's no expectation. The general manager just said, no expectations. So all you gotta do go out there and do your thing, man. I mean, he can pitch. He has all the stuff, whenever you want to call it stuff. I get it. Cool. He damn sure pitch better than Randy can. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But they ain't paying me to pitch.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't paying me to pitch. They're paying you to pitch. And we need you to pitch better. Because one thing we know, that he has the raw ability to be a good pitcher. There's no doubt about Folty's just straight-out talent for me. It's everything else. Because – damn, if you head case and your talent don't, the talent, sometimes the talent won't outweigh your head case because you're mentally fried. And so, I mean, he gained a weight, fine. He had to eat breadsticks and all that other good stuff. I'm with it. I don't care about that until you get back over there in Truist or wherever they're going to pitch you at. Because he, like you said, he's about to get another start sooner than later. This game promising sooner than later.
Yeah.
And just show me what you got.
They're just not going to have any other option at some point. And it's not great. Not a great situation to be in. We'll ask Joe Patrick more about it coming up at 1:20 when he joins us. Now, this was great. This was actually really fun from over the weekend. Freddie Freeman goes into Friday with no career Grand Slams in a decade and comes out the other side of the holiday weekend after doing this.
High fly ball that's hit toward left center field and deep. At the track, at the wall. It's another Grand Slam for Freeman.
Well, he got the fastball away and he tried to split the gap. Instead, he hit it 10 rows deep.
Two Grand Slams in the series after no Grand Slams in the first 10 years of his Major League career.
Unbelievable. Fox Sports out there with the call over the weekend. Freddie Freeman, one thing that we always joke about is all the guys that have more Grand Slams than him. I made the joke on Twitter over the weekend about how he tied Felix Hernandez for career Grand Slams on Friday. Well, then he passed him. So maybe that means Felix needs to opt back in now. He can come back and try to get himself a Grand Slam, even though pitchers don't hit anymore. But you know what I mean. Bring him back.
No, man, we all know what Felix doing, man. Felix chilling on the couch, eating salsa and drinking damn Presidente. All right,
yeah,
he's chilling.
That's what he's doing. That's exactly
he ain't got
what
no
doing.
Issues. He's rich, chilling, got pretty babies, beautiful wife, big old house, chilling. Why did he come back for this? I thought I would give it a try. It was cool. It was fun. But now, man, I done put on that quarantine 60. I'm cooling.
I agree with you. Anyway, at least Freddie hit some homers over the weekend. Look, the Braves have been hitting the ball like crazy. They just couldn't drive runs in yesterday with runners in scoring position. They're still two games up in the division, given everything that's happened. And the news of the day, again, Max Fried placed on the 10-day IL. We'll talk to Joe Patrick more about that later. Atlanta United almost with another frustrating result over the weekend, but Adam John saves it late.
Jürgen Damm close to the corner of the 18, leaves it back to a teammate now. It'll be squared to Anton Walks, who plays it to the left side. Jake Mulroney cross back post, header, score! In the second of five added minutes, it's Adam John, and Atlanta United might steal a point!
God, it's good to have Mike Conte fired up, because it's just been a tough
been
run of play for Atlanta United. It sounded like he was getting a little frustration out there in that call, too, rightfully so. The great thing about not losing to Orlando again and getting that tying goal late and getting a point from it was Joseph Martinez got on social media and did this.
Orlando.
Yes! He brought it back! He brought
it
back.
I love that dude. I love that dude, man.
I do too. I can't wait for him to get back on the field and get things back to normal. It's not going to be this year, unfortunately. But hey, at least they got one late. They got one in stoppage time, so they avoid losing to Orlando for the second time in a week. Yeesh.
Orlando.
Just top-level trolling from Joseph Martinez. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the lunchtime Falcons report. Let you hear from Dan Quinn. Let you hear from Dirk Cutter. Let you hear from Deion Jones. It's week one of the NFL season. The Falcons have an NFL football game this weekend. Talk about them coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Wendy Adams. We'll get back into what's trending at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. There's a lot going on today. Again, the Braves made news right before we came on the air this morning. Randy, we've been asking for breaking news during the show. I guess careful what you wish for, because
yeah,
we got it, and it's Max Fried on the 10-day IL. So we wanted good news, good breaking news on the show. That's what we were asking for. We'll be more clear, something positive to happen. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Anyway, we'll get back into all that at 1, and Joe Patrick will join us in an hour from right now to talk about it and get a little deeper into what he heard from Alex Anthopoulos this morning. And I do want to get to the Lunchtime Falcons report, and we will, because it is week 1 of the NFL season.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of people tweeting, and Wendy texted about, like, and Ken was asking me about it off the air. Have you seen this Odell Beckham Jr. rumor?
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't put too much stock in clout chasing broads.
Yeah, it seems like a clout chase. It does.
That's what it is. But as usual, everybody got to run. Whatever, man. Hey, is that going to affect Odell this Sunday? Nope. But hey, as long as they keep messing with these broad, these because it's the same ones over and over again talking about the same, like, y'all know what they gonna do. So, but yet you still, because I'm sure right now some young cat in her DMs right now, you want to fly out, you gonna learn. But hey, people like freaky nasty stuff. That, and if that's on him, he's just nasty as hell.
Yeah, everybody has their preferences. Don't yuck his gum if that's something that he's into.
Like, I don't even like wiping my babies. You think I'm gonna let somebody? Man, please.
The claim is, just so people know what we're talking about driving around, the claim is that he's a number two receiver.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever that means. That
was pretty fun.
I would say, I don't put too much stock in, especially when it's a certain group all the time doing the same thing. Man,
I agree.
All he likes and dislikes, man. That's the type of world we live in. I told you, this got back from clout chasing Miami. So believe me, I was like, damn. Okay.
Yeah. Is Miami the clout chasing capital or Vegas?
Oh, it's definitely got to be Miami, man.
It's definitely Miami. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely Miami.
But
yeah,
Los Angeles.
I mean, like I said, I mean,
there's a lot of clout chasing going on in Atlanta.
Yeah. People in the nasty stuff, man. Yeah. But here's the clout chasing thing. And this is how you can tell when rappers are clout chasing by a pool, when they got to take their chains off.
Because if it's really yours, you don't care if you get chlorine.
Yeah, when they got to take the chains off to get in the pool, you know it did. It was a whole lot of chains on towels.
That's a great sign. If you got your chain on in the pool,
you got to return it. Yeah, they rented you everything,
right? Because you got to return it. Either it's your chain and you're not worried about it, or it's a fake chain and you don't care. But then you probably get caught too, because if you get in the pool with a fake chain, that green gets on your neck really fast.
Yeah, I told y'all about getting that bumpy neck.
You did. You did tell us about it. Anyway, it is interesting how when stories like this come out, and again, if you want to find out the full details of the Odell Beckham Jr. story, feel free to research it on your own. It is, the headline reads, it's some, I think Chief Keef is a rapper, I think. It's his baby's mom. It's always the same. Like, I was reading a story earlier today about how Devin Booker and Ben Simmons have basically traded girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like, how come there's only 13 people that professional athletes date?
Yeah.
It's weird, carousel.
It's like 20 of them. All of them, hey, I mean, whatever, man. Hey, that's y'all, bro. If y'all want to keep it in the family, do you, bro. Do you. But, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like I always say, it's all about likes, clout, you know, and then somebody else go to the next one. Hey, y'all are young, y'all single, do what the hell you want to, man. But, you know, I stay out that crap because it ain't even something that, you know, like, okay. All right. He's trending. Okay, he's trending. What is he trending for? Oh, he's trending for some girls.
Oh, gross. Right.
Well, yeah. All right. He's nasty. If he does that, that's on him. What business is of mine?
It is literally on him. It is on him.
Pretty much.
What he does.
Yeah.
week one of the NFL football season. The Falcons play the Seahawks this weekend. We're going to let you hear Deion Jones talking about Russell Wilson in just a minute. Well, let's start with Dan Quinn. And it is a home game. There's not going to be any fans in there. He says that's all right.
Well, I think number one, just, you know, the familiarity of your routine, you know, of what you're doing and how to go about it. So that part stayed consistent. When I asked the players when we went down 2 weeks ago, let's really assess what game day is like. What are the things you used to do? Are you still able to do them? That's good. What are about things that need to get adjusted? And we could work through some of those. So as far as the crowd goes, you know, that's one thing. Obviously, you lose that kind of energy from them. But we know, that's how it is, and those are the guidelines we have. So we're ready to get rolling and provide that energy for one another.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've said this 100 times already, Randy. I'll say it again. It's no excuse. No one has any excuse. Everyone's playing with the same situation for the most part. I know there's going to be some NFL teams that are allowing some percentage of fans, and maybe by the end of the year, everyone will be. But there's no excuse to not play well or win a game because the energy is not there from the crowd. Okay, so that's out of the way. That said, it is going to be weird. Like, it is going to be very strange in that building on Sunday when the ball kicks off, and I know there's going to be fake crowd noise and all that, to even watch it on TV. And when they pan out, I mean, it's been weird watching baseball games. Yeah. You get used to it. It was weird watching the NBA games. You get used to it, and I think they've done a pretty good job with their virtual screen. It's going to be unusual this weekend, watching an NFL football game, this one here in Atlanta between the Falcons and the Seahawks, opening game, which would be jam-packed and loud in there, and they have nobody in the building. It's the reality of sports in 2020, though, and, you know, they've got to figure out a way to deal with it. There's no excuse about not having the juice from the crowd.
Not at all. There isn't. I mean, because the thing about it is that everybody's going to be in the same situation. Yeah, like you said, there are going to be some fans, more than fans than others. I agree with that, but I still don't think with even 17,000 fans, it should be a home field advantage. I just don't think it's that many people. I mean, maybe you feel the energy. You're happy to play in front of some people. I mean, you know, I would say when mama in the stands, you always want to show out for your mama. But, I mean, you know, it's different. And if you don't – the teams that are going to be successful in this NFL season are the ones that adjust to it the best. They are. The ones that don't have – the players that don't need – a raucous crowd to get you motivated. Well, you want to be great is enough motivation. It's just like I said, if you got to go out there with the "I'm playing Sandlot" mentality. I mean, hell, did you go out there and play hard all the time when you were? Yeah, it probably wasn't nobody out there. So I mean, I don't. This excuse will only come in when you lose, right? Especially if you lose at home. Yeah, we did miss having that home crowd and everything. You know, no, just stop them. Hey, stop them. That's what I'm saying. Just go stop them. Would the crowd help you stop them? I mean, I know they put it on false starts and stuff like that. Okay, I get it. Fine. But they ain't dead on me. They ain't going to jump off sides. You know, y'all got to go out there and execute. And if you're a team like the Falcons, when everybody's back's against the wall, hell, you know, who the hell in there? You need to just go play. Worry about them white lines and worry about the white lines and them numbers right there. That's all you need to focus on right there is what goes on between them white lines and that outside of them.
Yeah, and I think to me that is the main story leading into this weekend and the first maybe month of this season regarding the Falcons is the backs are against the wall. I mean, say what you want to say about the second half of the year last year and I guess the weirdness of this offseason or the cohesiveness of having the same coaches and all of that. Like, all of this stuff can be used either as an argument for or I guess an excuse if you want to. But we know one thing for sure. Like, if the Falcons get off to the same type of start that they got off to last year, things are going to change. Like, we find out for sure in this 2020 season whether or not as sure as you can be about things like this, whether or not the Dan Quinn era continues, whether or not this core of Falcons players continues and gets a few more runs at it to try to win with this core, with this window, or they don't, and things don't go well. We said all the way back, Randy, I think in whenever the hell it was, January, February, when they made the choice to stick with this coaching staff, you guys got about a month. You got about a month when the season starts to prove it. And then hopefully you get out of September and you're 3-1. Okay, great. And then we go to October and see how things go there. But this, there's nothing more than we'll see that I can really say about this team right now. Yeah, they got the talent, sure. Yeah, they have the same coaching staff as last year, mm-hmm. sure. They got a lot of really good players, and it looks like some of the draft picks are going to be a part of the team and all that. There are arguments to be made for the Falcons being good, and I expect them to be good. But I expected them to be good the last couple of seasons, and they weren't. So
true.
It's a we'll see. And hopefully in the month of September, they show us.
I mean, this is all about we'll see. And the month of September is going to be so big for them because I don't know if they'll be able to get the same opportunity that they had last year to finish strong. If this, and I'm talking about collectively as a team, if this thing goes off the rails to start, you look at the first four opponents coming up for them. I mean, they've got to play well because they have some very good teams. Now, the teams have been through some of the same things that other teams, they haven't had preseason, and, you know, we got Seattle having to travel all the way across the country and all those things. I mean, all that is well and dandy. I don't know if they're going to be able to do like they used to as far as coming in 2 days earlier. Are they going to be able to do that, or are they going to fly out Saturday before the game? All these different situations where whenever you're coming from west to east, you want to see if you can get in there on a Friday night, you know, get your team acclimated and all those things. So I don't know if that's still going to be the case with Seattle. But, yeah, I mean everybody's at a disadvantage this year. It's not this, I mean, that's why I said earlier, Bunk, whoever embraces this situation right now is going to be successful. It takes one thing to be just as good. I mean, because if you're a good football team, you got good football players, you should win games. But I'm just talking about as far as all the other surrounding things that are not a part of the actual game being played itself. And I'm talking about 11-on-11, man-on-man. The ones that can control that factor right there will be the ones that will be successful.
Well, I think it's leveling the playing field. It's a playing field leveler, not having any of that other stuff. You're literally only able to focus on what you have to do on each individual play. And if you're better than the other team, it's not going to be crowd noise getting guys to false start. It's not going to be referees getting intimidated by hostile environments and making home field calls the way that they normally would. Like, it's just going to be football team versus football team. And I don't know that we've ever seen a playing field as level as it's going to be this season, which, I mean, if you're good, should be an advantage. You go on the road and teams don't have that home field advantage against you. You're just lining up against them and trying to beat them, which is the case anyway. But like you said, Randy, all the window dressing, all the stuff that can maybe help teams that aren't as good appear better, especially when they're at home, isn't going to be there. So if you're more talented than the team across from you, which is the argument that has been made about the Falcons and their roster the last couple of preseasons, is they got talent here, they got this, they got all these first-round draft picks on offense, they got all this. I mean, if all that's true, then they should be just fine.
They should be just fine, but just forget, they're not all their first-round picks.
They're not all their first-round picks.
There's a reason why they have so many first-round picks on their squad. And
Laquon Treadwell was one of them, and he got cut. Yeah. So just being a first-round draft pick doesn't necessarily mean you're, you know, going to be a successful NFL player. Although that was a fun narrative.
Just got paid.
It's a fun narrative back in the summer. Did he? Ooh, breaking news. We'll get to that on the other side. We'll get to some damn good questions with Wendy as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Twenty minutes away from what's trending round two to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. A lot of breaking news today. Braves news early. We'll get back into that with Max Fried and how long he's going to be out. Joe Patrick joins us at 1:20. Randy mentioned it right before we went to break. DeAndre Hopkins just got paid a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
Good for him. He gets to be out of he doesn't have to work with Bill O'Brien anymore. And now he's got $50 million coming his way. Good for him.
Good for him, man. And they say he negotiated his own deal, so they're going to add the extension to the 3 years that he has left on his contract. So it brings it up about 5 for $95, so about $18-19 a year. So good for DeAndre, man. And he's going to do big things in that offense. Like he is their true number one, having Larry Legend out there. They love Christian Kirk. I loved him, too, coming out of Texas A&M. Yep. I mean, it's just about that growth of the young man. The offensive line played better down the stretch. They're still not really good, but they play better down the stretch. Arizona might make some noise, man. They're going to move the ball. I know that. But, I mean, it's
more to
just move the ball. You got to score touchdowns.
Great point. They're going to move it up and down the field. Can they get in the end zone? It just feels like that DeAndre Hopkins trade is going to be one of those ones we look back on like 10, 15 years from now, and we're just like, how did the Texans ever let him leave? Because it's not like he got hurt or old or anything. He's in the middle of his prime. He's one of the two or three best receivers in the NFL. And they chose to trade him for a banged up running back. The one that boggles my mind more than any is how the Eagles ever let Reggie White leave. I know it was free agency and all that, but he went to Green Bay and got 75 more sacks.
How about that?
How about 75 that? More to go along with the 100 plus he had when he was in Philly. I'm not saying that DeAndre Hopkins is Reggie White. DeAndre Hopkins is great.
Great
player. I just feel like we're going to look back on this and be like, damn. They sure did just sell him for, I mean, hope maybe David Johnson's good. We'll find out. I mean, he was good. I know that before he was hurt, but I don't know. It just seems like one of those ones we look back on. It's like, damn, that was a really big mistake that they made. All right, let's get to some damn good questions with Wendy.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dow 678 ESOG now.
Damn it, Wendy.
One thing that I love about Wendy, one of the many things, is that you could count on Wendy for some good old fashioned juvenile humor. And this Odell Beckham Jr. story, right there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not proud of myself, but you can blame the internet too.
Hey, Wendy, you should be, because it's funny. I mean, it's funny. I laugh at it because it's like, anybody can say any damn thing, and somebody print it, and all of a sudden everybody just goes off into belief, no matter if
it's
true or not.
What if it's not true? What if it's not true? Like, what if it's totally made up, and Odell Beckham Jr. is just, like, getting out of practice today, and he picks up his phone, and it's, like, you know, he's on Twitter. It's like, what?
Oh, I'm going to sue the hell out of her.
Damn it. Come on.
Because I promise you this, I got enough money to take her to court. I bet she don't got enough to defend herself. I'm taking her to court. You damn right I am.
Oh.
Yeah. Unless you got proof that you like that nasty stuff.
Unless it's true, in which case you don't go to court.
What don't people do nowadays? Everybody screen caps everything and saves it.
Yeah, I mean, if there's video of that, then she's got it.
Oh, I don't want to see it.
I don't either. I don't want to see that.
Oh, yeah, you do. Dude, you like freaking nasty. Yeah, you still waiting on Robert Kraft video to drop after a year later.
Can I say the name of the fantasy football team that you want to use? Or can I not say that on the
air? Oh, yeah. Can we say the name on the air?
I think so. If Randy's the one who's hesitant, that's not a good idea.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
Okay, good. I'll say it. Wendy's going to change the name of her fantasy football team to the Cleveland Steamers.
Oh, yeah, you can say that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you can say that.
It's so great that he plays in Cleveland, too. Like, it just makes it so much better.
I mean, I do have one of his teammates, Jarvis Landry, on my bench. So, I mean, I could. I've already changed it, guys, and I've used that photo that I sent you as well because I'm five.
Yeah, because Wendy. Yeah, because everybody always talk about Randy the troublemaker. No, it's the innocent Wendy. It's the pretty one. It's Wendy. She wants starts all this mess.
So Jarvis Landry is the number one receiver in Cleveland, and Odell Beckham Jr. is the number two receiver.
And Randy, I wouldn't say that I started this stuff. Odell started all this stuff.
You know, I'll tell you this. Whose word would you take more? His or the clout chaser that's probably done this many times?
His.
Why would you want to brag on that?
I'll take his side.
I'll take his side.
But why would you want to, like, admit that you sent a video like that?
Because that gets them clicks. The podcast, that was the girl that said that she worked on seven Phoenix Suns player. Why would she say that? For clout.
Is it the same girl?
Yeah. But I guess they got them. So
here's the thing. I did listen to the audio of it. I went one step further than Randy. I listened to a clip of the podcast. Not great. I wouldn't recommend it as a download. But she said that she was unable to perform the act.
Yes.
That it was asked of her, but she was unable to perform.
So everybody running with it, though. Everybody running with it.
Asked for it is the funniest part.
Running with it and ain't even listening to it. Would be funny. Ain't listen to her say that. They just look at the clip. Everybody running with it.
It's true.
Yeah.
I just have so much chest here. It would just be...
Oh, stop.
Oh, please. Hey, Wendy, please say something for this fool. Get us in it. Just keep going.
It's our first show back on a Tuesday. This is fantastic start for the week. But we can talk about another team that I can't stand, the Saints. Their comical plan to land Jadeveon Clowney over the weekend. Apparently, not only did they wine and dine him with his own personal chef, they reportedly had players and coaches reaching out to him on a recruiting blitz. But according to the NFL Network, how this deal would have worked out is Clowney would have signed with an unknown team on a one-year $15 million deal with a $5 million signing bonus, then have been promptly traded to New Orleans for a second-round pick, according to the report. Your thoughts?
This dumb as hell. Because I was like, I don't know what made the Saints think the NFL was going to approve that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I just spitballed it. Okay, no. There was no way the NFL was going to do that. Remember, we left the air on Friday, and I was like, hey, man, he's going to have to take a significant amount of low money to go to the Saints. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, they got the money. You're in a good system, all that. But, the Saints, I don't know what the hell they would – I don't know what made them think that was going to work. I truly don't.
I mean, just, you know, you're at the end of it. Maybe you can luck out. Nobody's going to sign him. We'll be able to get him for this low deal because he wants to play football this year. Now, Tennessee got him for a one-year $15 million deal. So much of that money is incentive-laden. Like, Jadeveon Clowney has to have the best year of his life to get $15 million.
Right.
Can I ask you this? Like, is Jadeveon Clowney worth all of this? Like, he's a good player.
He's a good player.
Is he good enough for all the headlines and conversation and all this stuff?
No, like, the thing with Jadeveon is
it's a name more than anything.
He's a big name because of everything. I mean, from high school all the way to college,
sure,
number one overall pick, disruptive as hell. He's a hell, man. He's a hell. Like, I take on my damn team. Don't get it twisted. I take on my damn team in a heartbeat. But like, just as far as what you thought when you got him in, as the number one overall pick out of South Carolina, I don't think he's done that. You know, I mean, dude, he's a good football player. He's good. I don't think he's great. He does great things. Like, his athleticism is unbelievable, man. The guy has a nose for disrupting things.
Yeah.
But I would have took the guy who was picked after him over him any day of the week, and that's Khalil Mack.
Absolutely. Anything. Right now, that's an easy one for me. But if he could do what he did against, I think it was the 49ers on a Monday night.
Oh, it was, when he was a one-man wrecking crew.
It was unbelievable. Like, and the fact that he's capable of that is why this is happening with him, because that's something that he did last year in the NFL. And teams see that and they say, well, maybe he could be healthy and do that every week. But he hasn't done it. He's just been so inconsistent and so banged up. I don't know. Like, I hope the best for him and all that. And I think playing for Vrabel will be good for him and being in that system. But just in terms of what he's done so far in the NFL, it's a little bit more little bit more name than actual production, in my opinion.
Well, Southern Miss coach Jay Hobson resigning from his position after starting the season 0-1. Yes, he resigned after his team lost their first football game 32-21, citing that the team needed to go in another leadership direction. But why now and not before the season started?
Man, I saw that. I was like, huh? When I first saw this last night, I was like, oh, well, I mean, coaching ain't for everybody, even though he's been doing it a long time. Maybe he just got woke up like, man, you know what, baby? All right, baby, I'm sick. I'm sick of this right here, man. Go call Peter and them and tell Peter and Abby to get the grands ready, and we're just gonna go on the side. We're just gonna go on a road trip to the mountains and to Mount Rushmore or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, he's been coaching for a while. He's been there for a few seasons. Like, one game was enough to decide that it was over. I don't know. I feel bad I don't have a lot of context on it, but that seems really weird to quit the job after one game, after one loss. It's not easy to get a head coaching job in college football.
You know what I mean? It ain't.
Like, Jay Hobson didn't just wake up one day and become the head coach at Southern Miss. You got to make a conscious decision for decades of your life to get to that point. Well, there's a job opening.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody wants to go take it, I'm sure they might hire with them because, you know, they've been through so much with these kids. It don't make no sense to bring somebody back in there. So they might promote within on an interim basis and go from there. But, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, damn, that's kind of weird.
Sounds like he's clashed with the university president. He was probably done with the drama. I'm good. I'm out of here. Sounds like there was a disagreement with the university president. Well, yeah, get him out of there. All right, thanks, Wendy. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending round two to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Big Braves news today. Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20 as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.